Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, my God. Is that too loud for you on Sunday morning, everybody? It's a Summer Slammy CM Punk weekend. Woo!
No, I think you said it backwards. It's a CM Punk Summer Slam weekend.
Well, I guess it depends on your perspective now, isn't it?
No, I think if you ask anybody in any world, wrestling or otherwise, it's a CM Punk SummerSlam weekend.
You know, I was saying on Friday night, and thanks to Ken Thompson for letting me sit in on SportsX Radio, which airs here on KDON.
Plug, Monday through Friday.
Don't forget fish and chips.
Especially
we're sitting in on Mondays.
There you go.
I was getting there. Give me some time. But wow, we were talking about WWE was going to need to do some pretty spectacular and maybe just talkative type things to get everybody fired up and at least for a little while forget about CM Punk. And I think they succeeded. But we got to get the first thing I got to say is welcome to the Mark Hoke Show. By the way, I just decided to scream at everybody.
Yeah, that usually works.
I'm trying to get that rating point. I'm such a prick when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's so bad. But thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. Mark Hoke here. Andrew the Fish Fane.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. If you're going to do it right.
Funky like a monkey. Sorry. I can't do that.
Funky like a monkey?
I can't do that.
Ride that lightning bolt. Hard times, daddy.
I knew that was a hard times promo.
That's still one of the greatest promos of all time. I still watch that. I actually remember I saw the show that aired, and I still have never forgotten that.
I don't know which is a bigger promo, the hard times or the pipe bomb, but those are the two biggest of all time.
They are definitely right.
And the Kane Dewey is right there as well.
Yeah, that didn't hurt. I guess it kind of did.
I love the Kane Dewey promo.
Oh, good Lord. But, of course, we're talking pro wrestling here on the show. And, yeah, if you missed it.
Then you missed it.
Jesus, oh, my God. My God. CM Punk coming back on Friday on AEW. SummerSlam on Saturday. We got NXT TakeOver tonight with the suspense. Is this Adam Cole's last match? What a weekend. So we're going to break down CM Punk's return. We're going to go through the SummerSlam card. Of course, I was there.
Yay.
So I get to give a little bit of a perspective that maybe some other people didn't have as we go through this. But I do want to mention, talking about SummerSlam, Allegiant Stadium, you've got a couple issues. You got a couple. First, when we were getting in, it took us 45 minutes to get in from where I was, and I was not at the end of the line. Why do you have 10 gates, security gates open when you have 24 for an event that's going to have 50,000 people?
Maybe they don't have enough people employed there right now.
Maybe they should have put James the jerk usher out there doing security instead of having him deal with people. Okay, but that was bad enough. Suggestion to Allegiant on that. Get some awnings, get some of the water vapor spray things.
Misters.
Because I got to tell you, it took us 45 minutes. And like I said, I was not at the end of the line. I was kind of, let's see, from the sidewalk. I wasn't that far. I could see the gates. So it wasn't like I was wrapped around the building or anything like that. But that is rough on kids, elderly people. You know, my daughter's like trying to hide because she's getting sunburned on her arm. I didn't know I was going to need sunscreen to go in. So how about Allegiant, clean that up a little bit, because we don't live in like Poughkeepsie, New York, where it's right now it's like 70. That was bad. Couple watering stations, couple of fans along the way. That was it. And those fans sucked, by the way. I would not buy stock in that company. But here I'm going to go off a little bit about James the Usher. You know, and this is not political. This is not any type of statement. if you're going to deal with people and you're going to be in a situation where people are cheering, eating, drinking, don't be a mask nut. Don't be a jerk. Here's what happened to myself and my daughter, along with a bunch of other people in our section. There was a guy named James. And yes, James, I'm calling you out.
I can see the grudge match. Extreme Rules.
I wanted to take that guy down to the ring.
Mark and James at Extreme Rules.
I do know. I do have enough wrestling knowledge that I could have twisted him like a pretzel. So I had been eating and drinking, which you are allowed to have your mask off, right? A match was rolling. I had my mask off. I left it in my lap. Super James, mask god, comes rolling down the aisle with his little sign. They get these little signs that they get to carry around. Look
at my mask sign. Put it on.
He walked up, and my daughter heard this. I did not, and she didn't tell me about the first line until I got out. He said, "Feel like dying." Honest to God, that's what this dude said in front of my 12-year-old daughter as a single father with a mother who is gone, not dead, but run off. It's kind of a sensitive subject around our house that, God forbid, something would happen to me. I didn't hear it, but then he started babbling, and I have my mask off. Sorry, I'll put my mask on. Then he kept snapping at me. I'm grabbing my mask out of my lap, Fish. It's not like I was sitting there saying, "I'm not putting this on." I thought, okay, my mask was off. I'm going to put it on. "You do know why you have to put that on, right?" And I didn't say to him, because Steve Sisolak's an idiot, no, I didn't say that. It's like, "Yes, I do." And he just would not shut up. A couple of women were a couple of rows down from me. One had a drink in her hand. You know, one of those nice, expensive $20 drinks. You're not going to tell me to put a mask on if I've got a $20 drink on. I'm drinking my drink, right? Lectured her for a minute. And this went on and on. Of course, what he didn't do something about was when people were in the wrong seats, he left people standing in front of us during matches with a row of six blocking the aisle. Or the idiot that came down and sat in the empty seat in front of me with a family of four, three kids next to me, my daughter next to me, the other guy. Well, this guy's just looped out of his mind vaping and blowing that for a half hour. Now, James the Usher couldn't have been bothered to take care of that. But boy, he can ask me if I feel like dying. James, screw you. I reported you to Allegiant, and I'm going to email them again. So, Allegiant, you got a couple things you need to clean up. But do me a favor. Fire James the Usher. I'll wrestle James the Usher.
Extreme Rules.
Let's save it for Money in the Bank.
Well, that's not until next year. Extreme Rules, September 26th, Ohio, baby.
Well, one, I got to train. But, you know.
You can be ready by September 26th.
I will be the baby face on that. That is a lock. So, Allegiant, please, for the love of God, get your people under control. All right, I feel better now.
CM Punk. Yeah, there you go.
All right, now let's get to the wrestling.
CM Punk. Got to start. You got CM Punk. It started the weekend.
Friday night, Rampage, the first dance. You saw the press release go out that mimicked Michael Jordan.
Right.
And they opened the show.
And they didn't waste any time.
No, and that was a good decision on their part.
That was a brilliant decision on their part.
Good decision on their part. And by the way, Jim Cornette and Brian Last on their podcast, I got to listen to a little bit, actually complimented AEW and said, "You did that perfectly." Now, if Jim Cornette says AEW did something right, they probably did something
right. Where does Cornette work right now?
He just does his own thing.
I know, but he's not employed by anybody right now?
No.
Okay.
No, he's just making tons of money off these podcasts he does. I love Jim Cornette, by the way. I mean, there's some things that I disagree with what he says.
I'm a huge Jim Cornette fan as well. A lot of people don't like him. I'm a big Cornette fan, but I will say this about the CM Punk. I didn't watch all of Rampage, but I did watch the whole CM Punk thing.
Yeah, and just to be clear, you're not a big AEW guy.
No, not at all.
So give me your impressions about what happened there.
They did it. First of all, you're right. They did it perfectly. They had no choice but to open the show with CM Punk. And then to have him come out and hear the explosion of fans, which I've been to concerts. I've been, obviously, to wrestling events. I've never heard an explosion of fans. I've been to Super Bowls. Never in any event ever have I heard an explosion of fans like they exploded for CM Punk. The feeling he must have had, Phil Brooks must have had walking down that ring must have been absolutely amazing.
He was crying a couple times. And if you didn't see it, this is how crazy it was. They took a 90-second commercial break while they were getting him into the while he was headed up to the ring before he started actually talking, and they were still going crazy. I one of the matches that I always like to go back and watch is CM Punk John Cena for Money in the Bank in 2013 in the United Center, where CM Punk won the title, and the intro that he had there was something that may have never seen in wrestling. I think this beat it. And the anticipation of him coming back in front of such a rabid fan base that AEW fans are. The announcers just shut up.
Yeah, there was
and the thing is you don't have to talk during CM Punk speech.
There was nothing for them to say. And then what capped it off for me was what CM Punk said, which was absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. He ran down the WWE a little bit, but he didn't need to run down the WWE. What he did, and his words said it all, when he said he left pro wrestling August 13th of 2005.
Yeah, when he left Ring of Honor.
Right, and then he's now back in pro wrestling August 20th, 2021. So basically saying WWE isn't pro wrestling, which it isn't. It's sports entertainment, and they will be the first to tell you that. But the way Punk put it was an insult to WWE without insulting WWE. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and I think this is what appeals to everybody about CM Punk is the sincerity that he has. When you in professional wrestling, even if you're not a fan, but you occasionally, pop it on just for fun, what makes it special, more special than just, bringing two people out to a ring and having them do some moves, when you get that reality and that sincerity into when people are doing promos, that's when they come out and talk, and promote their match coming up or whatever they're doing, or when you can, do the right psychology in the ring and people feel that, like, God, this is, this could be really.
When you tell a story.
And ever since the pipe bomb that CM Punk did, obviously the famous promo where he sat down for 4 minutes and just tore everybody apart, CM Punk brings that reality. It's not totally breaking the fourth wall, but you kind of know what he's talking about, and you feel like he cares, and you feel like he wants to really do something special every time, even when he picks up a microphone, when he gets in the ring. It's not, and the way he does it just transcends everybody else. It's like Roman Reigns has caught on because he's doing the same thing. It's not at the level of Punk.
No, not even close.
It's not at the level of Punk, but it's pretty good. You feel like Roman Reigns is a complete prick. I said prick twice in the show.
That's pretty good. Now you said it three times.
I did. Like, he is a jerk and arrogant, bastard.
SOB, yeah.
And you just want to, somebody beat this guy up.
And that's what a heel is supposed to do. Those are the feelings. But when CM Punk called out Darby Allin, he didn't even call him out. It was like you go, he wants to wrestle Darby Allin so he can teach Darby Allin how to be more like him.
And that's another thing that CM Punk is stressed in that promo was he wants to help all these young guys. And AEW is a company where you've got a lot of there's a real stratosphere there right now where you've got some great veterans in there, but you got a lot of really young guys or guys that are coming over from the independent shows that have so much to learn in terms of being on a major broadcast, in terms of being a major pay-per-view event. They're not performing in front of 500 people anymore. You're in the big time. And these guys are learning. Like Dante Martin last week when he was on there, they did a great job with that kid. I mean, he came out and stole the show in a match with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega.
If you can steal a show with them, that's pretty amazing. But I will say this. I don't care what the WWE will have you believe. The AEW is absolutely competition for the WWE. They have stepped up their game, and WWE, I guarantee you, in Titan Towers is scared poopless over what happened this weekend. I don't think they expected the reaction. There's no reason they shouldn't have, but I don't think they expected the reaction that CM Punk got. I mean, it was brilliant to have him in Chicago because he wouldn't have gotten the same reaction in Charlotte or in Dallas. He would have gotten a huge pop, but not like he got in Chicago. And I don't think WWE, because according to everything I've seen about WWE, they didn't care about CM Punk signing. Bryan Danielson, they're a little upset about. They didn't care about CM Punk, and they should have cared about
CM Punk. Their stockholders cared. Vince took some flack from them.
As well,
he
should have. And that's why I think AEW right now is got to do something to keep riding this wave. And WWE better stem the tide. They can't afford to lose Adam Cole, especially if what I'm reading about Bray Wyatt now signing with AEW is true as well. WWE has to do something.
It is a very intriguing roster on AEW that they're putting together. It is the philosophy that they have is getting back to the NWA time of wrestling, as opposed to, you know, we're going to do goofy stuff. And SummerSlam last night, I'll throw out an example. They had late in the card, they had Miz and John Morrison come out with, with their
Dripstick 2000.
Their Dripstick 2000. Why wouldn't it be like the Dripstick 2020 3000 or something?
Xavier Woods did something correct.
And Xavier Woods had it. They were in the ring like, well, did you bring it? Did you bring it? And Xavier Woods comes out with it. And it's like, how would they not know? Because this thing is a giant squirt gun with a big water bottle tank on the back. How do you not know that one of you brought? Nobody is thinking there. At times, I don't know who their comedy artists are, who their comedy people are that they've got in there, but guys, you're not good.
The creative right now at WWE is brutal. And I know a lot of it has to do with Vinnie Mac. It's not all in the writers. I know Vince McMahon puts his thumbprint all over everything, but something has to change because right now, the product at WWE is not as good as the AEW product.
It was like that spot last night during SummerSlam. We were all kind of looking around like, I know that it was a pretty hot night and there were a lot of big matches, so you kind of need to cool the crowd down. But you don't need to cool the crowd down with something stupid, which it was. I mean, and it's nothing against John Morrison. It's nothing against The Miz. It's nothing against Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods came out looking like Razor Ramon, which was, I thought was pretty neat. That was the best part of it. But just why? What did that do? I mean, if New Day and Morrison and Miz are going to fight, okay, great, but fight over what?
Oh, look, he shot me with a water gun.
And it wasn't even that good of a water gun either.
I'll be honest with you. I am completely over the entire America's Most Wanted, Johnny Drip Drip. That whole thing to me, that whole storyline is
stupid
and ridiculous.
And John Morrison is so talented.
John
Morrison is so good. He's
being completely wasted.
Miz is, and people rip The Miz. But Miz has been a stalwart in that company for a reason, because when he does wrestle, he's good.
And he doesn't get injured, and he has come a long way. I mean, let's face it, when he first came out, he was ridiculous as a reality star. But he has now turned himself into a legit wrestling star.
He worked so hard to get where he is.
Absolutely. All props to him.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. But anyway, back to AEW and CM Punk. Certainly, an amazing night for AEW, an amazing night for Punk. And you're right, putting in the United Center, they hyped it. I mean, Tony Khan, you can question how they book the shows sometimes, but one thing that you can't question is that when they need a big moment, they've been able to come up with it. And, man, we still got Bryan Danielson coming.
I hate that. I hate that even more than CM Punk being there.
We may have Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, whatever his name's going to end up being, coming in. Possibly Adam Cole.
Possibly Braun Strowman, which I know some people don't care about, but to me, he's still a big enough name and he can be, if you book him right, he can be an absolute monster.
On Rampage, Paul White's coming back to wrestle, going against one of the Booker men, QT Marshall. And so we're going to get to see him. They did I'm going to guess that they're building towards a rematch with the Young Bucks and Jurassic Express, which is going to be another great match. I love that tag team. And I Jungle Boy is just finding a way to get over. That's Luke Perry's son, by the way, if you didn't know that. Jack Perry. Yeah.
Is whose son?
Luke, the late Luke Perry.
Okay. Yeah, I did know that.
But, you know, and Luchasaurus is so good. That's another guy that got away from WWE. Who was he in WWE? I'd have to check the name.
All right. Not important right now. You can come back to it.
But yeah, that was.
Because I want to talk. I want to get to SummerSlam, and I know we want to get through the CM Punk stuff first, though, yeah. About how AEW is booking the crap out of WWE right now, plain and simple.
And, you know, and you see how they're building the future, too, because MJF, who I think is one of the future guys in wrestling, is going to be a stalwart in this industry for 20 years if he does end up going to Hollywood. Clean submits Chris Jericho. In the fifth labor of Jericho. Jericho tapped out.
Really? And Jericho's got to be buying all in. If he's gonna allow him to do the job clean like that, Jericho must be all in on whatever AEW is doing.
Yeah, I mean, they are really treating their younger guys. They can see who's got talent. You know, they took advantage of Dante Martin's situation with Mass Caster getting suspended with that rap. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, man, we want to see more of Dante Martin.
I will say this. The one thing AEW cannot do is the problem that Impact made, which was when they hired, and I know they're not going to hire this person, but when they brought in Hulk Hogan and they let him take over. You cannot bring in someone to AEW and let them take over the way Hulk Hogan did and refuse to do jobs and only bring his friends in. That's what's going to ruin the company. It's what ruined WCW as well.
Yeah. So, AEW, looking good. Looking good.
It's going to be standing tall well above WWE unless something changes at Titan Towers.
And I haven't seen the ratings yet for Rampage, but we'll find out. I'm sure it was pretty solid.
I'm sure it's probably their highest rated show ever.
You know, and I think it's a great move that they're on at 10 o'clock, you know,
right after SmackDown.
You know, that's, you know, is it 3 hours of wrestling? But, you know,
and
how
I'll
many
be
people
you,
watch all of
I'll
SmackDown?
I'll be honest with you, SmackDown... There was nothing special about the go-home. A go-home show should be special. There was nothing special about this. It ended with a Cena-Reigns showdown that we basically saw the week before. Why do I need to see it again?
Absolutely. They like to do things, repeat things on WWE a lot.
They like to repeat things on WWE.
They like to repeat things.
They like to repeat things in WWE.
Very nice. Yeah, we're gonna break down SummerSlam, and I kind of get to give a little perspective of what it was like in the building. Last night, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I know I got my tangent off, but overall, a fun night. A couple good, bad, ugly, and the internet blowing up about Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair. Woo! I got on Twitter last night. My fingers were on fire. My eyeballs were burning because it was.
I guess they had a choice, but they. Again, they had to do that, and the surprise at the end of SummerSlam, I don't want to ruin it yet for people who haven't seen it and we're going to discuss it. The surprise at the end of SummerSlam, they had no choice but to do.
Yeah, an intriguing situation. We'll get into that a little bit. Of course, we're live on KDWN here, 101.5 FM, 720 AM on your dial, KDWN.com around the world. This is the Mark Hoke Show. We are having a blast, and... I'm probably queuing out a little bit early, but Andrew Fish Fane, Mark Hoke, you can follow the show at Mark Hoke Show on Twitter, the Mark Hoke Show on Facebook, and you know, we're certainly want you to go to the website too. I got to update the website though. I've been super busy. It's been a lot of work. Waiting for that music to start. Of course, we got Joni in the booth over there who I trained this week. So she's still...
We love Joni.
We love Joni. Joni's awesome.
Yes, she is.
There we go. All right. Oh, man. Sunday morning. We're going to be right back on the Mark Show. We'll continue to break down SummerSlam when we come back. Stick around, everybody. Lots more to come.
From Sunrise to Whitney Ranch and covering the world, 101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Fish, I'm not going to yell at him this time.
That's very kind of you.
No, it's not. Come on. Pep it up. All right. Let's break down this card. SummerSlam night. And, wow, it was – but it was electric in that building. Announced attendance was 51,000. Maybe. But, great. I mean, Allegiant Stadium as a facility, fantastic. That truss is tall, by the way. And it was funny that the woman that I was sitting next to, her husband was actually one of the ones that puts the truss up and takes it down. And I was just saying to my daughter before the match started, I'm like, boy, I would not want to be the one that has to climb up on that thing. No, thank you.
Yeah.
No. And the wife of the guy that climbs up on that thing is sitting right next to you. It's pretty cool. All right. So let's go down through the card and get everybody's thoughts on what happened.
All right. The kickoff was Big E and Baron Corbin, which was necessitated by Baron Corbin stealing the Money in the Bank contract, which I hated that storyline to begin with.
First, is Baron Corbin ever going to wash that shirt? They are doing, it's a subtle touch, but man, that shirt's getting grungy.
They're making
him out to be broke. And he stained it when they first started doing it. He was eating something on a promo.
I know, but the stain seems to move.
Well, whatever they're doing, it looks good. It looks good. And Big E and Baron Corbin, great match, and Big E is so over. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but my question is, are they ruining Baron Corbin by doing this to him?
I don't think they really care.
And I know they don't care, but I don't care if they care or not. Are they ruining Baron Corbin by doing this to him?
I thought they ruined it. Honestly, I thought they ruined him when they screwed up his Money in the Bank cash. A couple of years
ago. The one with Cena distracted him and he lost.
Yeah, it was lame. But Corbin is a compelling character. He's been doing
great. I hate the storyline, but he's been doing a fantastic job.
He has.
It.
And, you know, of course, the story of, hey, I'm going to steal the Money in the Bank contract case. Well, what are you going to do with it? It's Big E's. There's a contract for Big E. Sell that.
It doesn't matter.
This is one of those things about suspending reality.
No, but it doesn't matter because when Otis won the Money in the Bank, remember, Miz stole it from him and was going to use it. And he did use it until they had the match. But even before they had the match, Miz was getting, it was still at that point, Miz is the Money in the Bank.
But he won it in court.
Yeah, but that
he won it in court. Don't forget that.
But that's
2 years in a row where we're messing with Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
But thank God that storyline's over. And Big E looked great last night. And Corbin did too. So I give props to them.
But my prediction is New Day gets back together. Big E goes on Raw because Lashley needs a new opponent.
That is a possibility. Raw Tag Team Championship match. AJ Styles and Omos taking on RK-Bro. You know, and I was not big on RK-Bro.
You weren't. I loved it.
I don't know. There's just...
Riddle, you either love Riddle or hate Riddle.
There was just something to me about why the hell would you pair Randy Orton with Matt Riddle? But I'm going to say this now. Those two guys are really getting some chemistry together, and that crowd popped for them last night when they came out. I was just looking around because I'm doing a show. And wow, this is pretty amazing. People really like these guys. The one thing that I thought was kind of goofy about the match, though, this is a tag team match. How many tags did RK Bro do during the match?
One. wasn't there only two tags from AJ and Almost, though?
AJ to Almost, and then Almost
back to AJ, and that was it?
Weren't many tags in the tag team match, but...
Was it smart to have Almost not take the pin and only AJ take the pin?
Oh, you can't have Almost get pinned.
That's what I'm asking.
That is, you're building your new giant. You just got rid of Braun Strowman. This is your new giant. You cannot let him lose.
Is he the new opponent for Lashley?
He's not ready. He is so not ready. It was questionable him even coming up on the main roster to me. Just not. He's got a lot of polishing.
He was the guy that was the security guard for Raw After Dark, right?
Oh, man, I can't remember. I'm blanking on that, but one thing I do like about Omos is that you can see the facial expressions. He's actually, I think, got a better grasp on the psychology of the thing than he does actually wrestling. But I think he'll get there. But crowd went crazy.
You put him with AJ Styles. He has no chance. But he has no other option but to get better.
Yeah, and it's a good pairing. I mean, I think this is the only match that I I got wrong last night. But hey, you know, people are digging the RK Bro. But, you know, in terms of their chemistry as a tag team, it ain't Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, that's for sure.
What, RK Bro?
Yeah.
They need time to build. Remember, because Randy is against this. They can't have chemistry right away as soon as just because he just says, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah,
they can't
it's going to take chemistry. It's going to take some time, but people love that team.
I can see them holding the belts for a while. There's no reason to take it off of them.
No, they definitely could. We get to Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie.
I mean, this was no point in having this match. It is obvious when you have a match that you know who's going to, everyone know who's going to win. There's no point in having
a match. She slapped Lily. Eva Marie took Lily and slapped that poor little doll around. Got a little ooh.
But the best part about the match was the end when Doudrop basically turned on
that Eva Marie. Was fantastic. Because where, you know, I was sitting, you know, obviously when you have a vantage point where you're not next to the ring, you know, that's the time to look at the monitors and see what's going on. And Doudrop, the hand in the face, get out of here, you know, with Eva Marie on her, get out of here, girl.
And then
I'm the gal now.
And didn't she give the big and the loser of the match?
Oh, that was so beautiful. Good finish. Match, yeah. Oh, poor Alexa. God, she is so good. I was telling people that. I'm like, oh. She is so amazing in the ring, and they're wasting it right now. But so Lily got slapped around. Alexa didn't like it. She won the match. That was it. A U.S. Championship. Of course, we have four title changes last night. Of course, we just talked about
the Raw tag team titles
going under. Now the U.S. Championship, which was another one that kind of saw coming a mile away. Sheamus and Damian Priest.
They're pushing Damian Priest, and they have to.
They love Damian Priest, and I liked him too. And as Punishment Martinez in Ring of Honor, kind of knew this guy has a bright future.
Oh, he was Punishment Martinez? I didn't know that.
Yes, he was. But I am going to say this. Sheamus was really, really good last night. Priest,
he's the archer of infamy.
He was okay. I could see from where I was some spots that weren't the best, that weren't the cleanest. I was a little surprised because, you know, I've seen him wrestle before and I've seen him on TV and he looked really good and, you know, powerful and mean and nasty.
He had some great matches in NXT.
But there was something was just off in that match last night. And I don't know what it was, but there's going to be some reviewing the tape for Priest, I think, on that.
Where do they go with Sheamus from here?
The dustbin of history? I hope not, because Sheamus is
they they never got to fully explore the McIntyre Sheamus feud. Yeah. I would have no problem with Jinder Mahal calling on Sheamus to help him out now.
Well, that would be interesting, but a decent match last night. Good for Damian Priest. You know, this is a guy who I think
is first of many titles.
Yeah, and you know, he's a little bit older. You know, I think he was in mid to late 30s. Mid 30s. I'm going to have to look that up so I don't say something wrong. But yeah, not bad. But yeah. I hope that he can clean some of that stuff up. But like I said, you know, but a decent match.
Right.
Decent match. Let me, you know what, I got that real quick. I'm curious. Let's see. 38. He is in his late 30s.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So he has to win the title pretty quickly.
Yeah. So much for that youth movement. Next one, we had the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Fish blowing up my phone. Dominic's going to turn.
He should have turned. No, but you're right. He may not be ready to go on his own. He should have turned to join the Bloodline stable. Go full on Samoa.
Why are you trying to make Dominic the bad, bad boy? Why?
Because to be honest with you, otherwise I have absolutely no interest in Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, this is just a selfish interest.
Absolutely. I have no interest in Dominic and Rey Mysterio as a team right now. I don't need to see it anymore. All of Rey's shtick is done. It's like, come on, guys. Give me something new.
Decent match. My daughter did not like the Usos.
Why?
I don't know.
Usos. Oh, they don't do that anymore, do they?
She's like, I don't. That and that was funny. I really wanted to bring her on the show if she would have gotten out of bed just to talk about a kid's perspective on this. But the Usos win that match. Ray takes the pin. Ray looked good last night.
He always looks good.
Yeah, I mean, just but fantastic job. The Usos were just blowing it up at the end. It was kind of a slower paced match at the beginning because they were beating up Dominic for a while. But decent match. Usos still the champs. Bloodline still's got.
Don't know who's gonna. I don't know what tag team is left in SmackDown to take them on. But
that is a good question. You know, give me a second because I actually have that list
here. I don't need to see the Street Profits or the Dirty Dogs against them. So give me somebody new.
Let's see. Just
Chad Gable and Otis. No, thank you. That means all of a sudden the Usos have to turn face. You can't do that because they're in the Bloodline stable.
Well, you know, if you hadn't fired some people, maybe you'd have a team.
Well, that's
maybe Kyle O'Reilly and
Adam Cole.
And well, that is in question. But maybe Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fitt. Oh wait, no,
can't bring Red Dragon up. Can't have Undisputed Era feuding with the Bloodline. Idiots. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm still bitter about that. That would have blown the roof off the place last night. You don't fire Bobby Fish. That match ends with Roman Reigns beating John Cena, and he's laying in a pile, and all of a sudden, Adam Cole and Undisputed Era. The Usos come out and celebrate. Picture this. Just picture this for a second. Give me 1 second on the tangent. The Usos come out to celebrate with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. The mighty John Cena is down, done. And all of a sudden, the Undisputed Era music plays, and all four of those guys come walking out and stare down the Usos and Roman Reigns. You have just printed money.
You couldn't have done it. Even if they hadn't fired him, you couldn't have done it because TakeOver is the next day. You could only do that if TakeOver is before SummerSlam.
Well,
TakeOver after SummerSlam, you can't
TakeOver.
Do that.
Okay, so you move TakeOver.
To what, but Friday?
Sure, why not?
It couldn't happen.
But I'm just throwing it out. Do it Saturday morning. Who cares? But I'm just saying, if that scenario happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not a. Yeah, that's a whole.
They could still do it with Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole. But Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly right now hate each other, so they can't.
Yeah. I I'm looking down the list right now, and to answer your tag team question, there's nobody there.
Yeah. They're going to have to throw somebody together.
There's nobody there. They're going to throw a team together or.
Edge and Seth Rollins.
Ooh. That's a possibility. All right. Next match we had. Oh, yes. The controversy. This might take a few minutes. Okay.
Don't have a whole lot of minutes.
Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch.
Sorry.
Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks.
/ Carmella.
Which turned into Carmella, which turned into Becky Lynch. Apparently, there was some issue going on. And, you know, I'd be speculating if it was COVID or something like that. But they weren't sure if either of these two were going to be able to get cleared to wrestle. And apparently 8 days ago, they knew that Sasha Banks was not going to be able to wrestle this match.
So they knew it was 8 days ago.
They knew last week.
Yeah, because that's why Sasha Banks wasn't on SmackDown. And it was just Belair against Carmella and against Zelina Vega.
Yeah, apparently Dave, and got to credit Uncle Dave Meltzer for breaking that. So Sasha Banks, and they're still hyping the match. Video pieces ran at the start of the show before the match, and Bianca comes out to the ring, and all of a sudden the ring announcer at Allegiant Stadium says Sasha Banks can't compete, but we have the most beautiful woman in the world. And Carmella comes out. Crowd is just not happy. We'll say slightly unsatisfied.
I would imagine, so, because this was going to be one of the matches that could have stole the show.
Absolutely. And so Carmella comes out, and just when they're getting ready to go, just when the bell's about to ring, Becky Lynch is coming out, and everybody's going crazy. Wow. Here comes Becky. Becky destroys Carmella. And you're kind of wondering what's going to happen here. And I was hoping, well, this will be a hell of a promo for a future match between Bianca and Becky. Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's tear the house down. And by tearing the house down, you mean
Five moves of doom.
Taking it like the Wizard of Oz and dropping it on the ground and destroying it in 20. And actually, everybody's reporting this time is like 20 seconds, 25. There's a video. It's like
13 seconds.
It's about 12 seconds.
Yeah, about 13 seconds.
You just took Bianca Belair, who everybody loved and had the emotional win WrestleMania.
And built her up. And ruined everything.
Bam.
Now, again, as I've said, there is one person you could have do that, and it is Becky Lynch. However, it doesn't mean it was the right move. Bringing Becky Lynch in was the right move. Having a squash match was not.
And there's all sorts of talk that, you know, they were trying to set a match up, and it, you know, they just didn't like it, and they figured they didn't want to take a chance on having a bad match with these two. And it was just all everything got thrown together so quickly, and they just said they're going to go
so quickly. Wait a minute, it's 8 days. That's not so quickly.
They may not even Becky. You know, they may not have been planning to bring her back right away. You know, I've heard stuff like, well, she was going to be there because she's married to Seth Rollins. She's with Seth Rollins. Right. So they just asked her out of the blue, say, hey, you know what? It's time. So
my guess is I'm telling you that CM Punk's reaction on Friday precipitated Becky Lynch and the other surprise at the end of the show.
It's a possibility. I'm not going to argue with that. Who knows what they were thinking, but I can tell you this, Twitter blew up last night. Now, I did not like that some people said this was a race thing because, you know, Kofi Kingston got squashed. Now, Bianca Belair, WWE likes to squash black wrestlers. Really?
No, stop. No, just stop.
No, throw that out in the garbage can. Yeah, SJWs. Just stop. Come on. Crazy circumstance. But I can tell you the reaction from everybody that I was sitting with was, and even my daughter, who is 12 and not the biggest wrestling fan, was, what happened? We were all like, what just happened here?
I mean, she didn't even get him in the disarmer. It wasn't even a submission thing. It was a pump handle slam.
Thank God they didn't ask her to tap out. Oh, my God. Could you imagine that? That's a good point. Could you imagine they made her tap out?
Jesus. I mean, they can sell it as Belair was not ready for this when the move happened.
Yeah, so she got, you know, they kicked her.
The wind got knocked out of her, and so she got a three count.
She got blindsided and bam, bam, and down.
Because remember, right. Becky has to be kept strong. She beat Ronda Rousey, and the only person to pin Ronda Rousey. So they have to keep Becky strong, too.
Yeah. I hope I did. I pass the women's match? I think I did. Let me see. It's not on the results here. But we'll stay with the women then. We'll talk about The triple threat with Nikki
Which is where I thought Becky Lynch was going to make the appearance.
That wouldn't have been a bad idea. But Nikki A.S.H. Loses the title in a match with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley.
Charlotte is the winner, which is no shock.
Is the new champion.
Is Nikki A.S.H. out of the title picture now?
Probably.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that character just doesn't work.
This is how it went down in the arena. This Nikki is getting no reception or booed pretty much the whole match. And the intro, she got booed. And I feel so bad for her. When she was doing the Nikki Cross character,
That's her character, though. Why change it?
Well, she came up with the idea. Vince liked it. And Vince liked it because Vince likes cartoony crap sometimes. And
that's exactly what
I shouldn't say, you know, I mean, look, Nikki is putting a lot of effort into this. But it's just she's been getting booed at every arena. And the match itself, like anytime Nikki did stuff, it was kind of like everybody was like, okay. And she, as the match went on, she was getting better and better, was doing some great stuff in the ring.
But the problem is you can't buy her beating either Rhea Ripley or Charlotte Flair.
Not like this. Not like this. Could I buy the old Nikki Cross?
Absolutely.
Beating them? You bet. And, you know, you could do a super villain storyline with this now. I'm the scorned superhero. Now look at me. Now you're hearing that, Nikki. I'm sure you're probably still in town. I doubt you guys went home yet.
Well, they're in San Diego tomorrow for Raw.
Yeah. So let's take that route. But Charlotte winning again. But yeah, and as the match went on, people were really starting. Charlotte did some amazing stuff.
Yeah, but
last night.
I don't need I need Rhea Ripley to be the champion more than I need Charlotte to be the champion.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes, but I just want to say that watching Charlotte Flair was a real treat. What an amazing athlete! She can do anything in there,
and she's gonna leave WWE too. Her husband is already there. Her father is there. There's no reason for her to stay in WWE.
Except it might be some more money. But she was phenomenal last night. And I you know, one of the top performers on the card. Let's see. Sliding up here because I jumped one here. Oh, that's because I jumped this one. Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal. Dead.
It was basically
crowd.
A squash, too.
Generally, yeah.
And then Veer and Slinky Slanky, I know it's Veer and Shanky, came out afterwards and he swung Angela and it was over. It was like, you guys, that's a Raw match. It's not a SummerSlam match.
I felt so bad for Drew. And, you know, I was thinking back with Drew, you know, carrying the company all that time.
Winning the title, finally getting to win the championship, but having to do it in front of no fans, and now you're going to screw him out of not letting him have his moment?
And just hearing nobody caring about this match and nobody, not many people cheering him was sad to see. But then people were cheering when Seth Rollins and Edge got it rolling, and Edge did the Brood intro and then his regular intro and went insane and was bouncing Seth's head off the ground. Match of the night. Absolutely match of the night. And I expected no less.
Oh, yeah, out of these two, absolutely.
Oh,
no.
My God, I could watch those guys wrestle
And this feud is not over yet, correct?
I hope not.
I mean,
want this one to go on for a long time, and I want to build it.
Right, you can't have Edge going after the Universal title now because he's already gone down that road and lost, and you can't have the loser of that match go after the Universal title, so they have to face each other at this point.
Well, the one thing with Edge now you've added this little, okay, Edge is really going to the dark place. He wasn't in the dark place before. Now he's in the dark place.
And my favorite line from his promo on Friday is, "You led me to the dark place, and it's so hard to get out of, but I like it."
Yeah, maybe this darker Edge could challenge. We'll see. Lashley and Goldberg, what a.
But you knew this. You knew it was going to be a cluster F when the match was announced.
I had predicted this would go under 4 minutes. It went seven with Goldberg grabbing a knee
because MVP hit him in the back of the leg, and then they chop blocked him, and then they started using a chair on his leg, and his son tried to save him.
Crowd booing Goldberg from the start.
That's
because
Vince isn't doing him any favors by the way he's booking him either.
So this isn't over. That's the scary part.
But
this is not over.
It is, because Goldberg only has two events a year. Two events are done.
They're clearly setting up.
Are you
going to
bring it up next
year?
Wait till January and Royal Rumble?
I don't know what they're doing, but
they don't know what they're doing.
They should have called an audible and said, this plan, guys, you got to give. We need Lashley to go over clean right now. Right now. That's what I'd have been doing. I'd have been calling that down
absolutely
to the ref real quick. The Universal Championship match, because we've got about a few minutes. Oh, we're at two. Roman Reigns and John Cena. Reigns in what I thought was a solid match. Great psychology. Roman wins.
I didn't like the fact they had the stipulation. If he's not the Universal Champion, he leaves WWE.
I wish they'd have left that out. But a fantastic match. Great performance from both those
guys. And the
guys.
End of the match, the big surprise was
Brock Lesnar.
And my favorite is now Heyman has to make a choice.
Yep. And now Paul Heyman gets to be the star of the show.
Which is perfect because there's no better mic worker than Paul Heyman.
I'm very good with that. There's rumors that they're holding this match off for a long time between those two. Who knows?
They can't.
We'll find out.
Unless they put Lesnar on Raw.
But then John Cena got decimated at the end by Brock, too. Brock was done, and then all of a sudden he turns around and comes back and gets in the ring and says, you know what? I
will say this.
I remember beating you up. Let's do it again.
I will say this.
A couple Germans in the
F5. If Cena ever sees Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, run.
Yes. So we'll see where Roman Reigns heads from here. What a wild night. Wow. Hey, we're getting ready to wrap this thing up. I'm just waiting for my music. But there we go. All right. Roman Reigns, John Cena. Who knows where we'll be headed, but great show, Fish.
Always wonderful, sir.
Absolutely. Follow Fish at TheFish1969 on Twitter. Follow the show at Mark Hoke Show on Twitter, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. Go to that website, MarkHokeShow.com. Very happy to have you join us. We'll see you again next week here on The Mark Hoke Show. Woo!
Home for Sean Hannity, KDWN Las Vegas, KKLZ HD2 Las Vegas, a Beasley Media Group station.